Welcome to the Springs Church podcast, where we explore the teachings of Jesus Christ and how they can be applied to our daily lives. Join us as we delve into the Bible and discuss topics such as faith, hope, love, and forgiveness. Our mission is to inspire and empower our listeners to live a life of purpose and meaning and to deepen their relationship with God. Tune in every week for a new episode as we learn how the Bible, Holy Spirit, and a relationship with Jesus will impact every area of your life.
When you fall in love with God's word, man, it changes you. It changes your life. It changes your perspective. It changes everything about you. But I say that first part very intentionally. When you fall in love with the word of God, it'll begin to slowly transform you. And if you've ever gone through something, how many people have ever had a revelation, not just in the word, but I mean in like health, in any area of your life, where you've gone through something and you try to share it with someone? Have you ever done that where you know they just don't get it? And you're trying to get them to get it, and you say it five different ways, and then you just give up because you're just like, oh, that's okay. And that's what I find happens with someone who truly gets transformed through the word. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 12:3 says, so that you may prove the perfect and acceptable will of God. What a cool verse. You may prove it. You are a living testament to the word of God if you do the first part. If you become transformed. And if you look at what the word transformed means to become something you are not. If you have any young parents in here who have young kids, you've probably seen cartoons or shows of Transformers, and way too many of them actually. But that's exactly it is. It's something transforming and changing into something else. And that is the journey a believer must go on. And the word of God is just showing us how to do all of those things. And so how many here are ready to hear God's word? Anybody bring their Bibles with them? Yes, let's see them. Hold them up. Awesome. We only got two or three, four or five. There you go, six. There you go. Awesome. How many of you brought your electronic Bibles with you? Yeah, there you go. 100%, eh? Every time. Well, if you want to open up your Bible app, let's open those up. Let's get your Bibles ready. And I'm going to be jumping over a bunch of verses. The first one, which I didn't give to CG, so don't worry back there, is Ephesians 4. So if you want to flip there, I'll talk about that in a second. We're going to be starting there and jumping around over to Romans 8, and then eventually a whole bunch. So we'll see where God takes this journey, but it's such a cool journey. You know, two nights ago, I was putting my daughter to bed, and I posted on Instagram that day about a bill that's coming to pass in our government, or trying to come to pass. To me, it's one of the most evil bills I've ever come across. Now, I'm not up here to talk politics, but this is what started this journey through the word on this thought. And it's a bill that is worth looking into. I'm not going to mention any of it from stage because I don't know what I'm allowed to say in this nation anymore, which is a sad place to be. But I'm always going to preach the word of God. And so this bill was a bill that was essentially alluding to the fact it's coming, it's just being disguised, and that's what I find happens. They're disguised in these virtue signaling type things, but when you get into the nitty gritty of it, they're quite dark and they take a lot of freedoms away. And so I posted about this, and my daughter saw the post, and I was writing it up, and she was like, what is that, Dad? And I said, well, it's about a bill that honestly could make doing my job, preaching the word of God, very, very difficult. And in fact, they're talking about prison for a lot of these things. And she was like, what? And so I'm lying between my son's bed on the left, my daughter's bed on the back, and I'm so tired. And I usually use this as a nice nap time before Tamara and I go and hang out for a couple hours before our real nap time. And so sometimes I doze off in between their bed. But we have some of the most special talks next to their bed, talking through the word of God. And so we're sitting there talking, and she's holding my hand, and my son's holding the other hand, and she goes, Dad, if it became illegal to preach the word, would you still preach the word? And without a hesitation, I went, of course. And I said, your dad would be doing church services in jail, sweetie. And then she laughs. And I said, you know what's pretty cool? I said, do you know Paul? Paul, I've talked to you about in the Bible a lot. And she goes, yeah. I said, some of the most encouraging, uplifting verses ever written in the word of God came from a jail cell. A jail cell. Not the jail cells we know, or I guess some of us know. But I mean, and power to you, God's a good God and he forgives. yeah, we're just going to skip that. where was I going? Jail cell. But when you look at the Bible's jail cells, there's actually a video I found, and I don't have it here today, but it was what they believed to be the exact cell that Paul was in when he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, some of 2 Timothy on his second jailing. He wrote these verses. And when you watch the video of it, you see the jail, and it's disgusting. You can imagine back then, they didn't have pipes and plumbing, right? So what they would do is dig trenches for sewage. And they would make them at an angle so that as these prisoners would go to the bathroom, the sewage would just go right on by their jail cells. And they were just in these little cement boxes with a little hole above, which sometimes was light, sometimes it was the jail guy above them. That was it. It was horrible. And so then he goes on to write these things. So the first one I said is Ephesians 4, 25 to 27. And he goes, speak truth to your neighbor. Members, we are all members of one body. And then he goes on to say, I paraphrase these here because I'm going to read a few of them. And in your anger, do not sin. The next one I wrote down here is Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart and working for the Lord. Colossians 3:14, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, and this word's crazy from jail, thankful. What if we had to write Jeremy 3 verses 2 while I'm in jail, it'd be like, God's abandoned me. I don't know what to do. I hate all of this. Someone save me. It wouldn't be this uplifting. The next one, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. This is one of the most famous verses I love. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when you unpack sound mind, it is such a beautiful teaching on the type of peace that you can have in any storm, any situation. The word sophrenio is the word. If you want to unpack that, it is such a beautiful journey. But that's the type of language he's using from a jail cell with sewage, and he doesn't know where he's going and what's happening. And if God is for me and no one can be against me, then how come I'm in jail? That's what I'd be thinking. And he takes this as a, finally, I get a break from the ministry so that I can write some words down. That's how he takes it. He does it from an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness and joy and peace. And so as I sit here next to my daughter and son talking about this, I was telling her, I said, do you know what it means when God says, if God is for you, no one can be against you? And she goes, no idea. and I said, well, it just means like, if I just put it in her terms, essentially saying God's with you, which means nothing can touch you because you've got the creator of the world, the universe on your back. And so when Paul walks into this jail cell, I'll guarantee you he didn't put up a fight. I guarantee you he probably held his arms out. He might have helped them put the chains on because he had such a peace knowing if God's with me, I'm good. And I look at that attitude and those attributes going, how does he do that? And how can I do that? How can I go through storms? Because I want to achieve that. The Bible says that we as believers have something called the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll walk that through in a little bit. But I don't see much of the fruit of the Spirit often in the Christian world, unfortunately. And I want to ask why, and I want to solve that problem, and I want to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that they have the fruit of the Spirit so they can go out and do the ministry. And so one incredible thing that as I was sitting there, I said, you want to know what's cool, Sloan? She goes, what? I said, Paul, while he's in jail, I guess God was happy with how much of the Bible he had written at this point. Guess what happened to the jail? She goes, what? I said, God brought an earthquake on the jail and broke him out of jail. I'm like, how cool is that? And then she was like, he did? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, the jail literally broke apart and the door was wide open. And I said, it gets even cooler. And this is why, this is the nuances in scripture I always look for because I'm going, what is happening here? How many people have read this story? Do you guys know this whole story? The next part is wild. So the door is broken open. And what I would do, and most would do, I would hope you would do, is run like the wind. Get out. What does Paul do? He sits still. He sits still perfectly. So the jailer back in the day, in those times, were responsible for their prisoners. And if their prisoners were maybe died for sickness because they weren't taken care of or dehydration, or if they got broken free, the jailer was held responsible. And Paul knew this. So when the jail gets broken open, which is interesting, because the God of Paul kicked the door open. He's like, go, Or at least you think he said that. But it actually turned into the greatest moment of ministry for Paul. The very next thing, and I know I'm holding the tension here, is the doors busted open and he's sitting there waiting with this peaceful grace about him. And the jailer, what does he do? He goes to almost fall on his sword. Someone didn't fall, did they? Or is that a phone? Okay, good. Just want to make sure. I'm like, I'm not that tiring, not that boring. So what does this jailer do? He actually grabs his sword to fall on it, which means he's trying to end his life. Because he knows it's better if I do that than I go face the jury that's going to hold me accountable for the prisoners that just left. And before he falls on his sword, Paul goes, wait, I'm still here. We're still here. We're not going anywhere. And he looks at them and he doesn't understand. And so the jailer comes in and gets on his knees, the word says, and goes, can I know your God? Can I know your God? And he brings him to salvation right there. Crazy. What a crazy moment. And so... But the variable there that I want to show you is Paul. God is waiting for those moments. Like God is there always. And when you think you're in jail, depending how you posture yourself will make you able to access the power of God in those situations. And if God is so able to use you and is so proud to put the stamp of believer on you, he'll break the jail wide open for you. I'm not joking with you. What I mean is literally whatever jail, figuratively speaking, in your life that you're in, the power of God is there and waiting to be used on you in your life. If you as a believer, as I was praying in the beginning here with prayer and praise, when Jesus said, he said, it's better that I go. Maybe I'll read that verse to you. I don't know where I put it. Here it is. John 16:7. John 16, verse 7, if you want to read it. It says, it is to your advantage that I go, because I'm sending a helper to come to you. Thank you. For if I do not go away, the helper, Holy Spirit, the comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, I don't know what standby is, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in the close fellowship with you. That's not just talking to the disciples. Holy Spirit is there to lead you, to guide you, to prompt you into all knowledge, all truth, to help you at your work, in your business meeting. But the thing that I find is just as I was alluding to the radio signal that you tune into is he's always there. He's always casting out to you. But most people don't take the Bible, which is the tuning device, to get you tuned into Holy Spirit's leading, prompting, guiding, to know what he wants, to know what he's doing, to know how he needs you to act, be, and what fruit of the Spirit you should show regardless of situations. He needs you to be tuned in so that he can use you. And most of us, I want to say, Paul and Jesus are probably the only two people who would have been the way Paul was in jail, in my opinion. I can't think of many Bible characters that would be able to be in jail like that, write the word of God, write verses of gratitude and thankfulness, and then even when it's broken, get someone saved because of their reaction. The man was so floored, he couldn't understand it, going, you should be running free. What are you doing? And he just went, I got to know what you have. Can I have it? And he gets saved because of it. It's such an incredible, beautiful example. Romans 8:31. Is what I said before. I'm just going to give you the reference here. If God is for you, who can be against you? I need you to know that. And if you've ever asked the question, God, where are you? It's not God that's the issue. I find every time that I get to a position where I'm thinking that, going, God, what's going on here? Then if I get real serious with myself, I'll be like, when was the last time I went to the Word? When have I asked Holy Spirit to lead me? When have I actually asked for help? My pride is getting in the way where I'm not letting God lead me into my emotions, into my thinking, into my mourning, into my work, into my whatever it might be. You know, God, the Word of God says, and this is not something I have for CG, but it says, God gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. That's a verse that has been speaking to me for the last 6 months, 7 months, because it's a wild thought to think God resists the proud. And when Tamara and I were wrestling with this thought, I went, but so if I'm proud, God's resisting me? He's resisting the pride that I'm bringing. And because of that, resistance is this, it's genuinely this resistance. And so if you feel this level of resistance in your life, in whatever area you might be struggling in, I want to ask you, sometimes pride is silent. Sometimes pride is anger. Sometimes pride is you going, I already know enough. I don't need to go into the word. That's pride gone to seed. But if you humble yourself going, God, I don't know what else to do here. I don't even know how to read the Bible, but I'm going to do it. He gives grace to the humble. Now, that, there's two kinds of grace, one paying for sin and one as his ability, his favor on your life. And when you do that, I promise you, I can tell you, when I bump into believers that have tapped into that grace, it's like I'm speaking a different language. No one else can understand it. I mean this to you. And that's the thought of that revelation I was alluding to. When someone has a revelation in the Word of God, they are on fire. They are so charged up. They're so excited. And it's the most beautiful thing in the world. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was talking to my mom. And my mom is like a prayer warrior. Up at 4 a.m, she has this huge prayer list. And she has names of all these people and all these politicians who she prays for, like everyone, even whatever side of the aisle they're on, she prays for them all. And it's a huge list. And her list would get bigger and bigger. And if she met you, you most likely got on her list. Not for any reason, because she wanted to pray for you. And the Bible says the prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available. And so she wants to do that. And so she had this whole thing she would do. And she'd read 2 hours and pray and do all these things. And then she would call me sometimes and we would talk the word. And she never had this fiery fire in her about it. I could always see that it was head knowledge. It was always, I've read that before. Yeah. Oh, that's a great verse. Mm-hmm. But then I would talk to another person who's genuinely being transformed by the Word of God, and you can see it, you can feel it, and there's fruitfulness from it. And you talk to them, and they're going, oh, man, okay, you got to read this. Oh, I got to send you this. Oh, I was reading this, and you can see there's just this transformation, revelation in their life. And so one of these days, I told my mom, I said, Mom, I just got pretty blunt with her, and I said, can you throw your whole routine out the window? Just throw it out, just for 2 days, pause it. And she was so jarred, she was like, what? No, I can't do that. I said, just for me, just do it for 2 days, 3 days, and just go to the Word of God and ask Holy Spirit to show you what you need to hear, what you need to see, and what journey He needs for you to go on. I said, can you do that? She goes, okay, 3 days, that's all I'll give you. And she began to just do this. I actually forgot about it. She didn't call me 3 days later. She called me like a week or 10 days later. When my mom called me on that phone 10 days later, it was like I had a different mom. She was so, Jeremy, I've been waiting to talk to you. Oh, man. And this verse, and I was listening to this guy, and he was talking about heaven. Did you know when they were anointed in the Old Testament, we have access to Holy Spirit, but they didn't. But when they were anointed, Holy Spirit, and she was just, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, whoa, like there's a noticeable fruitfulness to you, Mom. Fruitfulness. And I saw it. It was tangible. It was real. It was there, and it was showing. And it was incredible. Her life has been transformed. When people are bumping into my mom, I've had my family members on my other side of the family go, what's happening to your mom? They see it. There was nothing really ever wrong with her, though. But there's such a fruitfulness of energy, love, look what the fruit of the Spirit, my brain's a little bit, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gladness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are such attractive things, and on a genuine level. And so when people see it, they see the difference. You know, most people, the only Jesus most people will see is you. Most people will not come through these doors. Most people won't hear the message. Most people won't hear the praise and worship. You are the only version of Jesus most people will see. And it starts 9 a.m. when you roll up at your office desk, when you sit down in your vehicle with them, or if maybe you're an emergency worker and you're sitting beside them in the fire truck or whatever you do, you're Jesus to them. And the thing that I've found in my life is that the real moments where Jesus shines real bright is when the pressure of life is squeezing me the worst. When you look at the situation with Paul and the jailer, Paul was there probably talking to him the whole time he was in jail. Didn't want to give his life to him then. He's preaching the word at him, probably. He probably was constantly just waiting to preach the word all the time. Why didn't he ever give his life to them then? It was when the pressure, when he had the chance to run, and it was a situation where most people would steal, run, do all these things, he saw a difference. And the fruit of his patience, his kindness, his love, his gentleness, his fruitfulness was there. He was watching it going, there's something different about you. Can I have that? I would never do what you did, Paul. I would want to. I wish I could. Can I have that? And I find in these moments of life when the pressure is so intense, like when you look at what the Bible says is a peace that passes understanding. Have you guys read that verse before? And you break that down. You look at the wording used in that. It's a peace that's perplexing, the Bible says. Perplexing. When we went through a lot of these trials over those last couple of years, I genuinely had very close friends come up to me and go, you're too good to be going through what I know you're going through. And I was like, no, I'm not. And then they're like, see, I told you. I'm like, I can't win at this conversation. But to the people who I knew who never knew the word like I know, they don't get it. And I'm here to kind of prompt you and show you that there's a level up far greater than what you're currently doing. And you can access this level of grace and fruitfulness in your life to access the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, everywhere you go. When life is squeezing you and the doctor is saying something to you and your debt is saying something to you and the repo guy is coming and saying something to you and so on and so on and so on and so on and life is squeezing you. And if the repo guy comes to your door and you go, hey man, no, I see you're just doing your job. How's your day? I'll bet you that repo man's never been asked how his day is in his life. But if you have a moment to be like, yeah, things aren't great right now, but how you been? Man, you've been working out. You're a big dude, eh? I guess you got to be a big dude to do this job. I do, yep. You have a moment to show him a personality trait that he's never seen doing this job before. And you have a moment to witness to him in such an incredible, incredible way. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 15 to 18 in the Amplified. I want to read this to you. It's incredible. Verse 15, it says, and he died for all. I think we got it. Yes, thank you. So that all those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for their sake. So I'm just setting the foundation here about Jesus and where you stand with him. Verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view according to the worldly standards and values. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now no longer know him in this way. Okay? Setting the stage. Verse 17. This, if you get anything, get this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as our Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual conditions have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings new life. Verse 18, but all things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus, making us acceptable to him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation so that by your example, we might bring others to him. Whenever I look at the word of God and you see a verse like John 10:10, it says, thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I've come so that you may have life to the full in abundance overflowing. Incredible verse. My favorite. If you have no favorite verses, you're welcome. Well, read it. It's your favorite now. Incredible verse. But one of the things that I think about is God is a good father. He cares for you. He loves you. Our purpose for life is to be in fellowship with him. But once you know the goodness of it, your new purpose is not only to fellowship with him, but to share about your purpose with him, with God, and how good they can be. And so others can make heaven and know the creator. And so I often ask God, why do you have all these promises? Why do you have all these gifts, fruits of the Spirit? And why do you tell me to put on the armor of God? Why do you want me to be equipped for the work of the ministry? Because you're pretty useless in the ministry if you're not equipped, if you're not healthy, if you're not strong. So you need to get to a place where you're confident, willing, able, healthy, strong, know the word of God, nothing bugs you, water off a duck's back with the capacity and capability like no others. so that just like Paul, who has been shipwrecked, bit by a snake, shakes it off, goes in jail, preaches, wins people, goes in jail again, gets his feet broken, gets healed, walks all through the desert, continues to just minister everywhere he goes, regardless what's thrown at him. And the only difference between Paul and you and me is whether we're seeking after God and we're pushed in for him, and because he's there. He's there and absolutely waiting. And one story I want to share with you guys in the little time I have left is watching my father-in-law do the ministry on church stages, but also out in the field. I had the privilege to watch a brilliant, brilliant man after God's own heart, just like David, in an incredible way. He would not only preach it here, but every moment that my father-in-law, Leon Fontaine, had, he ministered to people in grocery stores and in places like this. And so I had the privilege to be like, it's that easy. Holy Spirit's wanting to use you not only in these doors, but at your work tomorrow morning, at the bus stop, wherever you're going. He wants to use you and give you equipment to handle those moments. And the word says he'll bring things to your remembrance and he'll fill your mouth if you're willing to open it. Willing to open it. He won't open, it doesn't say he'll open your mouth. No, you have to open it and he'll fill it. When you've been in a moment when you're like, God, I'm over my head. Holy Spirit, help me. Please help me. I don't know what to do. And then you do it. You'll walk away after, and if you're talking to someone who knows the word too, you'll be like, I have no idea how I said that. I have no clue how I did that. I don't have the capacity in my own brain to do it. You clearly know Holy Spirit led you. And so about a month or two ago, this is a crazy story where God used me in a way that humbled me so much. It was the coolest thing. I was preaching in Winnipeg, did three services, and tired. So after we're done, I was tired. So three services, we're done. We head home. We're in Winnipeg. Get home, and all I want to do is just lay on a couch. And I think we had family come over that night, and we had to make dinner and stuff. And so we had to get things ready and everything. Me was just like, come on, please. Like, have I not worked hard enough today? Can I just go to bed? And so Tamara's like, can you run to the grocery store to grab some stuff? And I was like, absolutely, I'd love to. I was hoping you said that. So I willingly and lovely get in the car and drive down, and she asked for a specific kind of milk that is only bought at Sobeys. And so Sobeys is twice as far, and there was this store that was at Freshco, which is half as far. And I didn't know if they had the right milk or not, and I didn't want to get the right milk. I wanted the right milk, I just didn't want to go that far. And so as I'm driving, I was like, Freshco's got to have it. So I pull into Freshco, and I go through there, and I'm literally shopping like this. I'm looking at my list. I pick the one thing. I throw it in the cart, and I'm just like tired. I'm just tired, and I'm being kind of weak. So, all of a sudden, I had this the whole Bible says Holy Spirit will convict you, and now we often take that as you dirty rotten. No. It was this little nudge in my gut, where it kind of just felt like, this is what I interpreted it as. Look at you, eh? You're real good when you're preaching on stage, but now that you're actually in the playing field, you're useless. That's how I took it. Now, Holy Spirit didn't say those words to me, but that's how I felt, where I went, yeah, you hypocrite, pick up your flipping head, man. Do something. And so I genuinely stopped and went, yeah, this is where it counts. And so I stopped, standing in front of the milk, looking for the milk that I was trying to find, and I went, Holy Spirit, would you help me? If you need me to be used in this market, I'm willing, I'm able. And so I went and I grabbed the milk that I went like this. And then all of a sudden I noticed it was very expired. And I went, why, what the? And so I put it back in. And then all of a sudden this lady comes in to grab the same milk. And I went, that milk's expired. You shouldn't grab that milk. I almost grabbed it. She's like, oh my gosh, thank you. And then that interaction was over. And I was like, that could not have been it, God. Did I just save, I just saved her from a night of rotten milk. I don't know. And so that wasn't it. And so I'm hyper aware right now. And so I'm kind of just looking everyone in the eyes, trying to see if there's an interaction. And so I get to the till, and there's a person in front of me, and then there's this lady in her like early 70s, I want to say. She's very small, very petite, like just a little bit frail looking. And so I noticed that I was drawn to her. And so I was like, God, do you want me to pay for her bill? I'll do it. Like, what do you want? But I didn't want to come in like, kick the door down. Hey, I'm going to pay the bills. I'm the man. Let's go. Because I was like, Jesus wouldn't be showy or flashy. Like, what? How do I do this? And so I was kind of struggling with that. And I'm standing behind this other guy. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'm just like, I'm willing. Holy Spirit, what do you want? And so we get there. The guy in front of me goes. Now she's begging and she's about to leave. And I'm like, I feel like it's her. I feel that because I feel drawn. That's the only thing I had. It wasn't a, that's the woman. Bless her. Because I say that jokingly, of course, but most of us think that that's what it is. When I watch my father-in-law handle these situations, it was through a joke. It was through laughter. It was through his fruitfulness showing. Like joyfully fruitful. People saw that. He would sometimes purposely read their name tags wrong to make them go, what? Like if it was Danny, he'd say the name wrong where they'd be like, what, you can't read? And he'd be like, ah, just kidding. How are you? And he'd say it so much that they felt like there was a best friend. I'm good. And then they were jarred out of it, out of their roboticness. And so as this lady is begging, I'm like, God, she's getting further away. What do you want me to do? And so I get to the till, and I hate rewards cards because I hate how many cards you have to carry in your wallet, but I hate that no one gets the rewards when I'm doing it. Weird psychology, I know. And so I'm sitting there, and I bought like $100-something worth of food, and I was like, which means I bought like bananas and strawberries. But another government thing we could talk about another time. So as the food's going through, it goes like this. She goes, $142. Do you have a Scene points card? And I was like, no. But, and I literally did this. But this is what I find interesting. God used my weirdness of this points thing to actually bridge the gap. I was so irritated. I went, does anyone have a Scene point card? And she goes, I do. And I went, awesome. Do you want the points? And she goes, yes, of course. So she gives me the thing, I scan it. And I think the lady was mad because I'm kind of breaking the rules. She's like, you're not supposed to do that. And so we scan the points, gives it to her, and then she leaves. And I was like, that's what you wanted, God? The points? Are those points going to change her life radically? Like, I was like, what are we doing? But it was this phrase she said next that pulled my heart. She went, it's about time something goes my way. And that's exactly how I felt. I went, oh. I was like, I should have paid for groceries. And so she left. And then I went, what can I do? What can I do? And I try to keep money in my pocket to just for moments where I can try to bless someone as best I can. I don't have any right now. But and so I'm walking out. It's nighttime because it's winter. The sun goes down early, so it's dark. She's a little frail old lady. I'm a single dude, and she's in the parking lot. I'm like, I don't want to freak her out. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not like with my wife and children, so I don't look like, I don't know. I think I look pretty kind, but I still didn't want to scare her. So she's going to the parking lot, and as I'm walking out, I'm carrying my bags. I'm going, Holy Spirit, you really made her clear to me. What do you need? And so I walk up to her, and I genuinely like changed my posture because I was trying to be as gentle as possible. I was like, hi, and she's like, what? And I said, take it or leave it. I said, I wanted to just bless you. And she goes, what? And I said, I wanted to just buy your groceries, but I didn't find a way to do it. So I pulled out the cash and I said, and she goes, no, don't. And I went, well, and I literally dropped in her cart. I said, it's either going to blow away or it's yours. And she goes, no. And she goes, oh gosh, young man. Thank you, my young man. And so then she was like, oh, that's so nice. And she goes, you know who could use this? My nephew died of a heart attack last night, and their two kids have no parents anymore. The mom got lost into addiction a number of years ago, and he died last night, and now I'm here buying groceries for them. And I was like, oh. So I reached in again. And I took out the rest of the money, and I handed her everything I had, and I said, please buy them everything you need. I said, oh my gosh. And then she goes, she says this, and this is what was wild. This is where God, where it was like a kick in the pants, where I was like, God, you've been waiting to use me for a while here, and I didn't. And she goes, you know the last person who died like that? And she's talking to me like I know her. And she goes, the last person who died like that is, his name's Adam Fontaine. Now, for those of you who don't know, I married a Fontaine. And that's my wife's cousin that she just said. And I'm going, and I went, what? Adam Fontaine? She goes, yeah. He died just like that, just like my nephew did. I went, whoa. Roland Fontaine's son? Yeah. And then she goes, you know Roland? I went, yes. And I was like, you're not going to believe what I'm going to say, but my father-in-law, Leon Fontaine, Sally Fontaine, my mother-in-law, and I listed all this, and all of a sudden I was like, and then she goes, what? How do you know them? This makes no sense. I don't understand. And then she's now startled. She backs into her car like this, And I said, this is crazy. I'm like, of all the people in the world, you're ministering, helping. I was like, this makes no sense. And all of a sudden I said, I'll tell you this as best I can, but God clearly pointed you out to me to assist you in any way I could. And then she just collapsed and she just started bawling her eyes out against the tire of her car. And she's crying and crying and crying. And now I'm like, I hope no one sees this because they're going to think I beat this woman. And so I kneel up next to her and I said, what's your name? And she goes, my name's Aunt Beatty. And so I told her, I said, Aunt Beatty, I said, God's clearly looking out for you. And that the reason she freaked out so bad and started crying was because she goes, Jeremy, I don't know how to say this to you, but I genuinely prayed this morning, God, if you've forgotten me, I don't feel like you're even looking out for me. But if you are looking out for me, can you send someone across my path? Because I don't feel like I have hope to live anymore. And then I'm floored and I'm about to go cry against the tire of a car because I'm like, this makes nuts. This is crazy. Let's think about the probability and the chance of this. It is so, I was supposed to go to Sobeys and I was lazy and I went to Freshco and God still used me. It's nuts. And then it was the right person at the right time and I happened to have the money in my pocket and I so happened to just say those things and listen to the promptings and happen these little moments. If I went on a mission to try to make that happen, I couldn't even come close. I could have had a megaphone. Anyone know the Fontaine family? Hello. Still wouldn't have even come close. But it was me posturing myself going, God, well, let's rewind it even more. Getting into the Word of God to transform me. Romans 12:2, as I said. Romans 12:3, so that you may prove the perfect and acceptable will of God. So that you may prove it. So that I may go out and do something to prove it to someone so that they see the love and the hope of Jesus on me. Now, this isn't a story about how great I am. Not at all. I didn't have to quote all the Bible and have the memorization of the verses. I just had to show love, unconditional love. And that's it. The word says it's the goodness of God that brings the man to repentance, not how good you can condemn them or coach them or correct them. It's the goodness of God that brings a man to repentance. Just love him. Just show God's love. I'm here today to tell you tomorrow morning, just be that shining light. Ask Holy Spirit to help you as you go through whatever you're going through. Like if you're, whatever it is right now, think of it, whatever it is. It probably just made your stomach go, oh, I forgot about it for the whole service and now I remembered it. You're going to walk out of that with a story and a testimony and a strength. And maybe while you're in it, ask Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, can you give me a peace and a capacity to walk through this, that I'm a shining light. My 3-year-old right now is just obsessed with this song, This Little Light of Mine. And it has this video we play, and she asked me for it lately for these last couple nights, and it's beautiful. It's ministering to me in such a way. It's this little kid's rhyme. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Hiding under a bush. Oh no. Most of us are hiding it under a bush. Because you feel underqualified, you feel under-equipped. He doesn't need you to be. Open your mouth and he'll fill it. And it doesn't need to be religious jargon. It doesn't need to be Bible verses. It just needs to be love. Hey man, I'm here for you. If I can do anything for you, you let me know. Do you have enough money to make it by this week? No, you don't. Neither do I, but we'll ask somebody to pay for your... Love them. Just show love. Show that you love them. Because that's the greatest command. When the religious people tried to fool Jesus, they said, which of these are the greatest commands? And they thought they had him. How do you rank all these commands? And he goes, love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Greatest commands. Not, do not sin. Now that's... Don't sin, do your best. But he didn't even say that. Love God, and it'll change you. Love people. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, I thank you that you put us here for such a time as this. Holy Spirit, I ask you to just soften our hearts, to lead us, to prompt us, to guide us into everything you have for us, Lord God. Lord, we are tuning in to you. We're tuning our radios to you that you might guide us today, after church, during church, in the coffee shop, at our workplace, Lord God, so that we can be a light, so that we can show love, so that we can have a capacity and fruitfulness and a peace that confuses people, Lord God. We just ask for all of these things. Lord, you're such a good God and we love you. We praise you for who you are. You know, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never prayed the prayer of salvation or accept him into your heart, the Bible says that if you pray with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again for you, that your name would be written in the book of life, which means you make salvation, you make heaven, which is such a beautiful gift. And you want to pray that prayer, it's as easy as that. So we're not going to embarrass you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Please respect that. But if you want to pray that prayer, anyone who's on television as well, if you want to pray with us as well, just let us know. Would you look up at me and give me a quick wave and we'll pray with you. I'll look at this side first. Awesome, in the middle. Thank you. It's hard to see. Over here on the left, if you want to pray that prayer. Thank you. Awesome, amen. So good. Awesome. Well, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you guys repeat after me? Say, dear God, I thank you for sending your son Jesus. Right now, I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of everything I've done wrong, all of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Awesome. Let's give them a hand.